Support for election coverage on KXCV KRNW comes from William Coy's Farm to Table Restaurant at Mazingo Lake, offering fine dining such as braised short ribs, pan-seared salmon, and more. William Coy's would like to say thank you to customers who continue to support local businesses during uncertain times. More information at williamcoy's.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation as we continue our KXCV KRNW 2020 election coverage. This morning, we're taking a look at the race for Nottoway County Sheriff. I'm joined by Republican candidate and current Nottoway County Sheriff Randy Strong, as well as Democratic candidate and former Nottoway County Sheriff Darren White. I'll have the same five questions for each of the candidates this morning, and let's go ahead and start with Darren White. First question, Darren, what originally drew you to law enforcement, and why do you want to be sheriff of Nottoway County again?
Well, there's a long history of people being in law enforcement in my family. My father was a police officer. My grandfather was a police officer. I have a nephew that's a police officer, cousins. So there's a long history of that service in my family. And as far as being the sheriff, I was the sheriff for 8 years, and I feel that things have gone awry, and it's time for someone to step up and try to make things right.
Thank you, Darren. Same question for Randy. What originally drew you to law enforcement, and why do you want to continue serving as sheriff of Nottoway County?
That's a great question. I'm third-generation lawman in my family on my mother's side. I had an uncle, Bob, we called him, and he was the sheriff of Clinton County down around Plattsburgh, Cameron area, and I'm originally from Cameron area. So I grew up in that environment and was friends with the son of one of his deputies, and so that influenced me quite a bit. And his older brother, Richard, was a Missouri State Trooper. At one point, was in their first air division and flew Governor Hearns around back in the day in the 60s, Tom Eagleton and Governor Hearns, and then once he retired, he was the chief of police at Cameron, kind of come back home. So those two men really influenced me, made a big part of me in my life. And when Vicki and I, my wife and I, come up here to go to college in 74, was going to college, needed a job, got on the ambulance district, and then started talking to some of the local guys, and the position opened up on the local PD, and I took it. So, you know, as part of being something greater than yourself, helping people, and it's very rewarding when you can help somebody that's been a victim of a crime, especially a violent assault or an ongoing crime, and to help them out. So over the years, I was very successful, got a lot of excellent training, was involved in some cases that got national, if not worldwide, attention. I completed those successfully. Some of the cases we got have been documented in about five or six TV documentaries and some books. You know, at my age, it's time to look back and see, can I pass some of this on to some of the newer officers that are coming in, new investigators, and teach them what I know and make them successful and make my community a better place. And that's why I want to continue to be your sheriff.
Thank you. On to the next question now, and we'll start with Randy this time. With nationwide protests over the summer and a lot of eyes on law enforcement, what do you think is the role of law enforcement moving forward, and what, if any, changes do you see in the future that you need to implement for the sheriff's office?
I think first and foremost, a lot of us in administrative roles recognize that we have problems within. There's no secret to that. We have been striving to get bad officers or rogue officers or ghost officers, whatever you want to call them, out of our profession. But we've been hindered by several things. And a couple of those is after Ferguson, what we saw was a sharp decline in people that wanted to go into law enforcement. Our academy classes, where everybody has to start, enrollment has dropped dramatically. I've seen the Highway Patrol cancel academy classes because they can't get enough recruits. I can remember in Maryville back in the 80s, I was involved in the hiring process. We'd have 70 applicants. Now they can't. They may go for a year and not have anybody apply for one or two positions that they may have open. it's dropped that dramatically, and it's a nationwide problem. So how do we fill our ranks? And then we see this call to defund the police when actually we need to build it up. We need to put the safeguards into place to protect our citizens. The other thing, too, is we have different cultures in this great nation that are very divided right now. Some of the dangerous stuff we see, though, is this resistance to police and resisting arrest, where we see a lot of these grievous situations take place where somebody's shot, killed during an arrest. How do we change that culture? How do we quit being politically divided on what is right and what is wrong? And the courts have been very clear on justified use of force and deadly force, and suddenly we're seeing that politicized and certain prosecutors using politics and filing charges when knowing that they maybe can't win that case in the long run, but it's going to cause public outcry when they don't win. And we see cases being tried in the media, and everybody has a right to a fair and impartial trial. We see politicians coming out and judging people before they know all the facts. So it's very divisive, and it's difficult times to navigate in. So we need to have some real-world discussions on how we're going to solve this problem. Fighting among ourselves isn't solving anything.
Thank you, Randy. Darren, same question. With nationwide protests over the summer, as well as a lot of eyeballs on law enforcement, what do you think is the role of law enforcement moving forward, and what, if any, changes do you see in the future that you need to implement for the sheriff's office?
Well, first of all, to call what's been going on around the country as protest is completely wrong. People that protest usually have an issue that they are trying to change. But what we are seeing is just outright rioting and looting, and they are two very different things. So I think that's the first thing that has to be recognized. As far as changes in law enforcement, knowing that law enforcement is like a pendulum that swings both ways, and you know it goes back and forth as far as policy, as far as the laws that are written that govern what law enforcement does. But I think that with all the insanity that's been going on in our country right now, I think that it's time for law enforcement nationwide to step up and perhaps take a much firmer, if not harsher, stance to protect the people that we have been entrusted to protect. I think that when we allow the rights of good people to be trampled on the way that they have, I don't think that we're fulfilling our obligation. So that's what has to change.
Thank you, Darren. These next two questions will be dealing with COVID-19. And Darren, I want to stick with you for the first one. A lot of budgets have been tightened because of the pandemic. So how can you help the sheriff's office save money if budget cuts are needed?
Well, I think that you're going to absolutely see budget cuts. I think that when, whether it be at the county level or city levels or even at state level, I think that when people sit down and start figuring budgets for the next fiscal year, they're going to find that there are not the tax revenues coming in that they've had in the past. And I think there's going to have to be some very tough cuts made at all levels. And so what it simply comes down to is that whether it be the sheriff's office or anywhere else, you're going to have to figure out how to do the job with less money.
Thank you, sir. Same question now for Randy. A lot of budgets have been tightened because of the pandemic. How can you help the sheriff's office save money if budget cuts are needed?
We have not yet seen any budget cuts yet that we can see. And quite frankly, our budget has to be approved by the three commissioners before it goes on. So that's a long, drawn-out process. And our three commissioners are very conservative, and I enjoy working with them. They're good to work with. But, you know, if we have to cut back on vehicles, we will. Training, we're mandated by the state to have 24 hours of training a year for each law enforcement deputy that we have out there. So some things can't be cut back, but we'll make cuts where we need to. You know, I think we are fortunate. This county is in good financial shape. We have windmills now that are going to be putting some money into our budgets up here that we haven't had in the past. So time will tell, but I think we're going to be in pretty good shape going into it. We'll just have to see. We are pretty frugal here. I've got some cars out there on the road that are running 170,000 miles, you know, so we are pretty conservative, fiscally responsible here.
All right, Randy, I want to stick with you for this next question, and I'd like to preface it by saying that when I wrote this question down, it was before your bout with COVID-19. Sometime at the beginning of this month, maybe late August, two law enforcement nonprofits, Officer Down Memorial Page and National Law Enforcement Memorial Funds, said that COVID-19 has killed more police officers than any other cause this year. What will you do to protect your fellow men and women on the line until the pandemic is over?
Sure. That's another good question. We provide personal protection devices and gloves. Through the CARES Act, where the government gave each county money to fight COVID, one of the things that I looked at and we ended up purchasing was ultraviolet lights that we can sanitize and kill the COVID virus, plus any other virus, inside our vehicles, inside our jail. We got one for the courthouse, so we can do the courtrooms and individual offices. And we got one for the county administration building. We got one for the new police station. So that's one way we spent some of that money. We implemented jail policies up there where visitations were suspended, but they can now visit their loved one that's in custody virtually. We check employees as they come into work, check their temperature and see if they're sick. And we've got quite a few protocols in place. We're wearing masks around them. We set the jail up as best we could to any new arrests that are coming in, go into an isolation area until we feel good that they are not infected. So we've been very successful in keeping it out of the jail. You know, our staff, though, that has to respond to calls and things, unfortunately, we're going to be exposed to it, and we just try to do the best we can. And, you know, and unfortunately, a couple of us have come into contact and came down with COVID here, and so we had to isolate. So that put an additional strain on our resources here, because we had to quarantine a couple of other people that we knew we'd come into contact with. So it's been difficult, but we've managed it.
Okay, Darren, same question. Two law enforcement nonprofits, Officer Down Memorial Page and National Law Enforcement Memorial Funds, said that COVID-19 has killed more police officers than any other cause this year. What will you do to protect your fellow men and women on the line until the pandemic is over?
I think that when you look at figures that people put out, I think you have to look at where they come from. And unfortunately, the numbers, whether it be overall deaths, law enforcement deaths, or whatever category you pick, you know, you can find numbers everywhere that will suit the message that you're trying to say. While the COVID is a very real thing, there are so many other things out there that are truly as serious as that. There are things that people need to be doing to protect themselves each and every day. That being said, law enforcement has an obligation to do their job no matter what the situation. And, you know, it's not our job to make sure that we go home safe at the end of the day. It's our job to make certain that the people we protect go home safe every day.
Okay, Darren, thank you for the answer. And one final question for both of you, and we'll begin with Darren this time. Go ahead and give the voters one final sales pitch as to why you're the best candidate to be Nottoway County Sheriff.
Well, I think one of the reasons I'm the best person for the position is that I have the experience. In my time in office, I was actually able to present a good budget and live within that budget. And knowing that we are going to see cuts, that puts me in a very good position to be able to do all of those things. I think that my experience also in having run a family business for over 30 years only enhances my ability to present and work within a budget. And I think that's going to be a key issue for everybody in this next, not just the next year, but for the next several years.
Thank you, Darren. Randy, same thing. Go ahead and give the voters one final sales pitch as to why you should continue being the Nottoway County Sheriff.
You have no other candidate that has got the training and experience and success rate that I have, especially for clearing difficult cases. 7-year-old homicide case that we successfully cleared federally and prosecuted the individuals responsible for that. The Bobby Joe Stinnett homicide up in Skidmore. I have a very high success rate in working sexual assaults and getting prosecution, especially child sexual assaults. And we continued that on to our department. So we changed the way we deal with sexual assaults here when I came into office. We successfully got the 911 center consolidated. That has been a 30-year thorn in the side of Nottoway County, where we had two opposing 911 centers. Because of personalities, they couldn't get it done. But when I came into office, we got that done. And it's going to be a reality probably next month. They're setting it up now. You know, my staff has successfully investigated violent crimes, murder against the elderly, sexual assault against children, drug distribution, and arson leading to criminal prosecution. You've never seen a success rate in the sheriff's office in this county like you have starting January 1 of 2017 when I come into office and we reorganize stuff and how we did business. So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of my staff. We've sunk a lot of money into doing investigations and training. Specialized training that was needed and has been overlooked in the past. So I'm very focused on investigations. What can we do to protect people from violent crime? What can we do to get drugs off our street? And those are two of the big areas that we target.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedules and talking with the voters. Once again, that was Republican candidate and current Nottoway County Sheriff Randy Strong, as well as Democratic candidate and former Nottoway County Sheriff Darren White. Just as a reminder for our listeners, as September comes to an end next week, the last day to register to vote in Missouri is October 7th. And next Friday morning, we'll be talking with more candidates that you'll see on the ballot in November if you are registered to vote. And I hope that you do exercise your right to vote. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been KXCV Care&W's 2020 election coverage.